morning. Welcome to church this Sunday morning. We're going to celebrate, this is the weekend, we're celebrating our Independence Day. Over 200 years ago, Americans, colonists cried unto you for freedom from tyranny, for freedom to speak and to be heard. You heard and you answered. Come, Christians, let us thank our God. The announcements this morning, the virtual friendship cards are in back of the pews. Fill them out, and they're quite helpful to the staff and the minister. On Wednesday at 6:30 is the monthly board meeting, and you all are welcome to attend. Whether you're an officer, diaconate, or whatever, you can attend. And we could use some more people at our board meeting. And being summer, and Reverend Stilwell is on sabbatical, that we need more people to be there, not more now than ever. I mean, that's the way I look at it. It'd be nice if you all could, anybody, you know, if you feel free, if you can remember, sometimes you forget, I know I do, but try to be there if you can. Appreciate the attendance. On the rest of the calendar, on the back of the bulletin, you'll see on Thursday there's choir rehearsal at 6:45, plus other meetings there, and on Friday and Saturday also. And we would like to thank Alan and Heidi for playing the piano until Wanda returns next Sunday. So that'll be nice to have Wanda back. You guys do a beautiful job, though, I'll tell you that. Okay, and we also have work day Tuesday, July 5th, 9 a.m. to 12. Extra hands are always needed. Are there any other announcements? Anybody have anything? Okay. If not, let's take a moment of silence to get ready for worship. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God and worship. The processional hymnal this morning is number 695 in the Brown Hymnal, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. This morning we respond to the invitation of Jesus. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find the rest for your souls. Let us bow now for the opening prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. It is a privilege, Lord God, to be here today. We know that in many countries we would not be able to gather for public worship, or our worship would be in peril, or would imperil our job, our education, or our freedom. So we are grateful for the freedoms we enjoy and for the privileges of this land. We pray that our presence here this morning will help prepare us to be better citizens of this nation and the kingdom of God. And as Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. God has appointed us to be stewards, to be caretakers of His world and property. Let us exercise that stewardship with our tithes and offerings. The offertory hymn in the brown hymnal is number 526, Faith of Our Fathers. Thank you.
us to realize, Lord, that we are accountable for all that we have and all that we are. For all of it has come ultimately from your hand. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. The first scripture we're reading this morning is Jeremiah 7, verses 5, 6, and 7, and that's on page 707 in your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I give of old to your ancestors forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Thank you. The anthem this morning, Rescue the Perishing, by the Sanctuary Choir.
Choir. We've now come to the portion of our service where we share with those amongst us, those that are on things that are on our hearts, those people that are healing or in need of healing touch, and those that we just like to lift up as a community of faith together. Does anyone have any prayer concerns? Anyone else?
Thank you.
What's your son's name? Congratulations. Congratulations. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we center ourselves to you this morning. First and foremost, grateful for the freedom that we celebrate, the freedom to be able to call you out as Father and Mother and Guider and Creator. We ask that you be with our servicemen and women today as they defend us here and abroad so that we can particularly understand more fully and faithfully as we celebrate with family and friends or with fireworks or vacations or however that we're celebrating this weekend, that we truly understand that the freedom that you give us is something that we need to be grateful for every day. As we gather as a faithful of followers, dear Lord, we ask you to lift up those in our midst that are in need of special healing touch and care. We ask you to be with all of those on our prayer list and those of that we remember here specifically today, Madison and Shirley and Ryan and Donnell and the loss of her brother, and Alyssa with a recent diagnosis, and with Betty as she struggles with some difficult life decisions, and with the Deegan family as they remember their loss this week. Lord, we ask you to be with all of those quiet meditations of our hearts that are on our minds. We ask you to be with our leaders, both local and global and national, as it seems that unrest and unhappiness and confusion circulates around us. We just ask for a continuing calming presence, a reassurance that we will be okay in the midst of all of this, and a continuing strength to proclaim you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask you to be right now with those quiet meditations of our hearts as we lift them up silently to you now. And it is in your most precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. We've now come to the time in our community where we share our worship with those of us that are a little younger than we are. If you could come forward for the children's message.
Okay, we ready? Oh, our numbers are down today. We'll have to beat that up a little bit. Okay, who can tell me what a prayer is? I can bring this to you. Tell everybody what a prayer is.
Talking to God.
Talking to God. That's pretty good. Okay, let me think about this. Does prayers have to be real long?
No.
Yeah. You say yes, you say no.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They can be almost anything. I was at I was one place where this guy prayed for a half hour. Half hour. He prayed for everybody that I knew of. Okay? And that was very nice. And then sometimes there are short prayers. You know, have you ever, like one time I got off the Wild Mouse. Have you ever been on the Wild Mouse? Oh, it's this ride where you go real fat, you're real high, and you in this little car, and you go to the very edge of the track, and then you think you're going to die and fall off, and you turn real fast. And then you go to the next corner, and you think you're going to die and fall off, and then you go to the next corner. And on every corner, I don't like rides. Do you guys like rides?
Yeah.
Oh, that's because you're young. All right. But I don't like rides. And so I promised Ellie I would go with her. And every corner I'd say, thank you, sweet Jesus, for letting me live around this corner. Thank you, sweet Jesus, for letting me live around this corner. Prayers can be all sizes. You know, God likes the real fancy ones. He likes the long ones. He likes the wonderful prayers that Reverend Chris and Pastor Nikki gives us. You know, let me explain this to you. You know sometimes how you like to have turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, and that's like a nice, elaborate prayer. And sometimes you like hot dogs and tater tots. Yeah, hot dogs and tater tots. And that's the short little prayers. You know, but the big important thing is that every day, are you listening? Every day, you have to speak to God. You want to speak to God. You want to say to Him, thank you for keeping my family here. Thank you for me still being able to get up and walk around. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for this big old piece of chocolate cake.
Thank you for my life.
Thank you for my life. And also the fact that maybe somebody needs help. Take a minute to help other people. Prayers can be big. Prayers can be small. You have some here? Ian? Here. What? Can you say anything?
You help people.
Yes, good. And prayers help people. Good job, guys. Okay, let's go to class.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36, and it's in your Pew Bibles, New Testament, page 69, if you'd like to follow along. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but kept awake, and they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, if it is well that we are here, let us make three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. These are the words of our Lord. It's a great honor to be again with you this morning to share the message of our Lord. And I share this gospel with you because I feel it's important that as we continue to get to know each other over these next 8 weeks, that we intermingle in what Scripture's talking to us as well as getting to know one another. And I think this is so well happened with the understanding of the miraculous intervention of the Transfiguration. When we begin this passage in Luke, we see that James and John and Peter accompany Jesus up to the mountain to pray. Scripture moves on and tells us that while Jesus is praying, that his face and his appearance dramatically changes, and that there's a flash of lightning. And during this blast of a flash of lightning, Moses and Elijah just appear and speak about the fulfillment of Jesus that is about to begin at Jerusalem. And since we know the conclusion of the story as Christians on the journey, we can't forget that we understand that the proclamation is the passion of Christ and culminating in Jesus' crucifixion and ultimate resurrection. When you step back from the story and just read it and take it at face value, it's a very beautiful and amazing story. The passage in many ways makes Jesus' glory come to fruition for us. And it is told before the Lord undergoes the humiliating torture of the cross. For the liturgical world, scholars believe that this scriptural reference is most nicely bridged between the seasons of Epiphany and Lent. As it is oftentimes the liturgical world will say, a scriptural preparation for us. But it combines this story, the Transfiguration, combines both the celebration with the confirmation and the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the descriptive promise of all of the prophets of the Old Testament. It is the ultimate act for Jesus of self-disclosure. It's almost as if Jesus is coming out as the Son of God, wants us to know him all the way to the depths of his being, Fred Craddock tells us. There are so many different avenues that we can take with this passage when we look at it with Luke. There are so many points of reference that Luke is referring to, like Jesus' magnificence confirmed, Old Testament figures promising of a leader, and that their sacrifices are validated through the fulfillment of Jesus, to the meaning for us and for Peter wanting to protect his leader and the four followers, among so many others. But today I want to primarily focus on the voice and the vision of this message. First, let's look at the vision. It's amazing if you step back and think about it. Imagine James and Peter and Jesus and John on this huge mountain praying, and in an instant, Jesus is transformed immediately. Once this light and flash happens, Jesus looks completely different. He's radiant and spectacular, the New Revised Standard Version tells us. This is the first time that we read about a flashy type of Jesus. This can be looked at as Jesus revealing what he has kept hidden for the majority of his earthly ministry. Earlier on in the Synoptic Gospels, we read about the story of Cana, and when Jesus' mother challenged him to help not shame the bride and groom because of their dwindling drinking supply. And at this request from Mary, Jesus is very quick to retort to his mother because he doesn't want to create a spectacle. He wasn't ready then. But today, he is ready to complete that mission and serve as the foretelling of what the scriptures talk to us about. The vision also encapsulates the two greatest figures from Israel's past. The first is Moses, that great deliverer out of Egypt and the leader of the promised land. And the other is Elijah, the greatest prophet second only to Moses. These two figures and Jesus change the appearance of what speaks to Christianity as the struggle and the journey, which is worth it. And through the passion, Jesus takes on the ultimate sacrifice and provides us, his believers, with the grace and salvation of all of what the faithful leaders prior to him preached about. That's the vision. Second, the voice. Luke tells us that when Jesus' appearance changes and Moses and Elijah appear, a great cloud envelops them. And from it comes a voice of God proclaiming that this is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. God is giving God's son validation for the ministry that Jesus undertook, knowing that he would be betrayed, beaten, ostracized, killed, and left hanging like a heinous criminal. This very few verses is the authentic granting of Jesus' ministry, when even his disciples question and doubt him and challenge him every way along the road. This scripture is wonderful when we understand what we have to receive and when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It is the promise of our faithful journey. No matter how hard our lives are, we will be forgiven, loved, given peace and grace, and ultimately salvation. It's the warm and fuzzy ending of the scriptures that we always want and really can never argue with. However, I want to take it a step further. My life as an ordained minister carries two hats. Not only am I ordained through the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, I also work in the secular world. I'm a program manager for the Mental Health Crisis Center in Allegheny County, and I work with individuals who are in mental health crisis. There I feel ministry, and I feel calling, and I feel that calling for me is to provide my staff with education and role modeling on how to provide effective interventions and triage care in the moment to the people that are most vulnerable. For some, that's the assistance with getting a child out of bed into school in the mornings before they become truant. And while for others it's talking about the pros and cons of an ideation, intent, and thought, and a plan to take their own life by suicide. And some days the miracles are great, and some days it's devastating. When I began working in the mental health community, I was first introduced to working with people who were diagnosed with a severe and persistent mental illness. These were people who had long-term inpatient hospitalizations in state hospitals and facilities, but were reintegrated into the community by having a team of professionals assisting them with every aspect of their daily lives. And it was a very daunting task, but I learned something very early on in these years. What I am doing and what I was doing most assuredly is not a secular job. Just because the church wasn't paying my salary didn't mean I wasn't providing ministry to God's world. In the years I spent on that community treatment team and now with Allegheny County Crisis, I see the voice and the face of God transfigured every single day. Luke tells us that when the flash came onto the mountain, Jesus' appearance was dazzling white and forever changed. This time he was ready, and this time it was clear, and for Jesus, he was ready. For 1 second, the validation of that moment is so spectacular, but then just as quick, it's taken away, and he is judged, condemned, and killed. This is the moment. It is the beginning of Jesus' descent into vulnerability and humility. When a person with mental illness shows you themselves, who they truly are, they are forever changed. Their appearance is never the same. The grace and strength that it takes for you to see the truest of oneself is just as vulnerable and precious as that initial risk is. When we participate in this transfiguration, it means a new way of seeing for us. Welcoming into a deeper reality of life, Craddock says, a life that finds itself walking in the way of mercy. As I stand here and preach to you about this passage and we think about the details of its events, we don't give a second thought or question to the outlining of this message with the vision that Jesus had of Moses and Elijah and of hearing God's voice. To talk about this for us in this space is reverent and sacred and faithful. However, if I had this same conversation on Tuesday morning in my office with someone, I would be wondering if that person was hearing voices or working through a psychotic episode where I needed to adjust medication. I say this not wanting to debate about visions and voices and Christianity versus psychosis, but rather what I am trying to erase is awareness of the vulnerability, acceptance and validation, and ultimately the reception of grace and love that Christians are most assuredly promised when we show our most authentic selves. What this transfiguration shows us is who Jesus truly is, the Son of God. But it also sheds for him that protective barrier that previously followed him through all of his earthly ministry. And now he becomes susceptible to the leaders of his day who fear his message, who fear the healing, and who knows the power that he preaches can change the world. As we continue on our journey as faithful followers, please take a moment to realize that all around us is not always what it seems. 1 in 4 people in their life will be diagnosed with a chronic and severe mental health diagnosis. Understanding that statistic, there are many of us standing and sitting in these pews today that represent that statistic. And for 25% of our population, judgment and persecution are all too common. So the message that I'm charging you with today and hope that you'll take away with is that to be chosen is filled with euphoria, but also with pain, with joy and at times with sadness, and with love, but also with persecution and disdain. But by Jesus showing Jesus' true self to us and forever changing on that mountain, he fulfilled the greatest of all of love's sacrifices. A promise of revelation that when we show our truest and most vulnerable selves, that only love and enlightenment will guide our way to truly be the chosen. Amen. Our communion hymn is number, 465? Yes, 465 in our brown hymnals, verses 1, 3, and 5. Jesus, the very thought of thee.
My oldest daughter is 14 years old, and she spends the summers in Iowa. So while she's away, she learns more baking techniques, and she is, and I know every mother says their child is beautiful and the smartest and the most intelligent, and so I'm not going to do that, but what I will tell you is that she is the best baker I've ever encountered. She has her own little business and sells her own little cakes, and it's amazing, and I'll be happy to show pictures because I'm completely jealous. But what I'm trying to get at is that there was one particular moment where somebody asked her to make a cake for them, and she agreed, and she said, "Mom, this is an easy cake. No fondant, no anything. This is going to be a super easy cake." So when I came home after a long day at work, it was a Friday night, and I knew I had to deliver it on Saturday morning. I come in, and her dad is sleeping, and her younger sister is sleeping, and she's in my kitchen just crying with this cake that wasn't that attractive. And so I said, "What's up, Mars?" And she said, "I can't do it anymore. I can't bake anymore. People want too much of me. I'm horrible. I can't do this anymore. I need a new life path." She's 14, remember? I can't do this anymore. And so instead of me, you know, thinking I'm going to be the nurturing, loving, you know, caring mother, I would just was like, "Well, then fine, quit. I'll go to Giant Eagle and buy a cake in the morning. Like, I'm not fighting with you." And she just looks at me, and I just walk away. And then in that minute, I realize, one, that was the worst mom fail ever. And secondly, I missed the whole point of the stress. And so I walked back in, and I sat down, and after I apologized, I looked at her, and I said, "What's the problem?" And she goes, "Mom, sometimes I forget that I'm only 14. And I say that as a communion meditation to say that sometimes we get so far ahead of ourselves that we think we should be doing all of these things and jumping through all of these hoops and being the perfect all the time, that we forget that we're just Christians on the journey. And so the beauty of getting together every week is that we can be sanctified and nourished and absolved of everything that we carry with us every week when we come to this table. Regardless of our denominational affiliation and regardless of our church membership, when we proclaim that Jesus is the Christ and when we truly believe him to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus remembers we're just that 14-year-old just trying to be the best that she can be. Jesus remembers we're just Christians on the journey, flawed, but just trying to be the best that we can be. And this meal helps us remember that each and every week. Let us come to the table as open Christians.
Dear Lord, as we gather around this table today, I had prepared something that I was going to write, and I thought, oh, this is awesome. This is going to be my best communion meditation ever. And then the service began, and the hymns, and the messages, and I thought, no, this is not what I want to say. What I want to say today is the fathers that founded our country, the independence that we celebrate today, the freedom that we celebrate today, where has that gone? We live now in a country where our greatest battles are because of prejudice and hatred, and where does God belong? Can we have him in our pledge? Can we have prayer in school? Can we have the Ten Commandments in a public place? And when we stand at this table and we realize what these symbols that we're about to partake in really represent, we know as Christian, God, he belongs in our heart. That's where he belongs. Prayer belongs in our homes. And the Ten Commandments belong in our daily lives every day. That's where these things belong. And we as Christians, as disciples, it is our duty to spread the freedom and the independence that comes with these symbols, that comes from the true sacrifice that Jesus made for us and for our sins. And that truly should be the independence and the freedom that we celebrate today. Amen.
On the night of his arrest in the upper room, Jesus took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." After supper, after giving praise and thanks to our God, he took the cup and said that this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat from the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Thank you.
As we as a community respond to the Word of God, it's the time in our lives and in our moments where we feel so called that we want to publicly profess that feeling. So if you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer your membership to this fellowship of faith, we invite you to do so during our invitational hymn, which is 659 in your brown hymnals. We've a story to tell the nations. 1, 3, and 4 are the verses. Please stand if you're able. Bow our heads to receive God's blessing. Gracious God, we thank you again for another week. We thank you for the reminders of our freedom. We ask that through this message and through the song and the sacrament, that as we walk through these doors, we will have strength and courage not only to rest assured in our freedom, but for to fight for those things that are unfair and unjust, and that you continue to give us the strength to remember that even though we are meager Christians on the journey, you sustain us and you strengthen us. It is in your name we pray. Amen.